The Passion of Anne Frank. She never leaves the past or the present. She's insinuated herself into the future. It doesn't depend on will or wish. There's nothing any of us can do about it. She comes out of nowhere, it seems, when you least expect her, around an innocuous corner, free after all those years in her attic. Though she seems to come and go, I know better by now. She's been here all along, always has been here in one form or another, omnipresent, figure of myriad sightings. Oh, but why again tonight, Anne? Something about the hospital food, maybe, something about the way Francesco turned to leave, clutching his laminated visitor's pass, or earlier this afternoon sitting with Mother in silence. I brought up Sophie, I don't know why, and witnessed once more such mortal loneliness, solitude of such magnitude. The years don't heal anything. Nothing can erase or change or alleviate any of it. The closure everyone is always yakking about. Right. I asked my father for a tape of Jekyll and Dupré playing Dvorak, and Mother brought it with her today. I had spoken of Sophie, and when she handed the tape to me, I noticed that her hand was shaking. She might have left it on the night table, and I would not have noticed her hands, but she did not. Please, not Sophie, I read in the trembling. I put on the music after she left the room, still shuddering imperceptibly. There is more that is sad and strange than I can bear some nights. The young woman playing her cello against the symphony shimmer, and somehow getting such an intimacy of sound still. In the din, I hear her. Hanukkah and St. Nicholas's Day came almost together this year, just one day's difference. We didn't make much fuss about Hanukkah. We just gave each other a few little presents, and then we had the candles. Because of the shortage of candles, we only had them alight for 10 minutes, but it is all right as long as you have the song. The song. And I am dreaming. And isn't this just a dream again? And isn't this just like a story I once taught to my undergraduates by the great maestro Julio Cortázar, though the story's name escapes me just now? I can't help thinking that as I shuffle around the hallway in my slippers, and she's there all right, over my left shoulder in the mirror, oh yes she is, as I go into my small utility bathroom to adjust my wig and make a little crooked smile and wave to her. How odd we must look together. I, at 33, the prematurely retired professor of literature, having been handed my very own death sentence, rare blood disease, looking uselessly into what is suddenly a drastically reduced future, and you. Well, we know all about you by now. Like you, I had wanted things, Anne, to sing one aria, to see Germany at last, to have a child. None of it, alas, apparently, in the picture. The nurse here again with blood pressure wrap, checking, as they like to say, the vital signs. While at the window, everyone going about their daily day, earning their wage, keeping appointments, having a bite at the local bistro, calling home. The world, alas, going on and on and on, the droning of the televisions in every room down this long corridor, same as usual. Why, in the middle of another day, here do you appear? Why today again, Anne? Someone we all should have let go of years ago, having learned the lessons of you and knowing there was just nothing else left. Sorry to be learned from you. Why? There I've said it, your melancholy, inadvertent book of instructives, your beguiling schoolgirl musings, read with the hindsight in that unbearable light. But what? What else is there, Anne? And what do you want now? Why again today, a girl who died years ago, and who's been retrieved, resuscitated now so many, many times since grade school. And not only by me, but by nearly every grade school child in the world. I, running home with the news, Mother, Mother, have you ever heard of Anne Frank? There was a war. And surely you must be exhausted by now. All the children holding you under their arms like that.